Hi, I'm Susie Larson. Here's the podcast from Middays with Susie Larson. Enjoy the conversation. It's only just a matter of... Welcome to Middays. I'm Susie Larson. So honored to get to spend this time with you. In fact, I look forward to bringing you conversations every single day, well, that hopefully inspire you in your faith walk, that deepen your understanding of God's Word, and that heightens your awareness of His very real presence in your life. We've got a great program planned for you today. So here's a question to kick us off. Have you made any New Year's resolutions? How about for your marriage? Have you ever thought of that? Have you ever heard of anyone making a resolution for their marriage? Maybe if you think of more about it, you'd say, I want more adventure. I want deeper prayer times. I want to be able to give more money away to kingdom causes. Well, I got to say, to me, nothing is more exciting in marriage than to have a vision that's bigger than you are. My good friends, Dr. Greg and Aaron Smalley of Focus on the Family, are joining me today to talk about New Year's resolutions for your marriage. We'll get them on in just a moment. I just have, you know, a question for you. Think about this. I want you to text in some good ideas for New Year's resolutions for your marriage. Text in some good ideas, and I'll read them throughout the show. I would love to hear from you. Another quick announcement. Faith Radio and Shula Shoes are partnering up. I'm so excited to sponsor an amazing evening. I can't wait. It's Thursday night, February 13th. It's a live audience event with myself and Dr. Troy. The theme is Love's Power to Heal. And I want to say this clearly. Even though it's the night before Valentine's Day, it's not a couple's thing. It's for anybody and everybody who's interested in the reality that Jesus has wired us for love. So when our thoughts are on His love for us and our love for Him, when we love each other well, when we understand God's affection for us, it actually changes us on a cellular level. It's going to be so great. We're going to have desserts. We're going to have a time of worship. We'll have some Q&A, some really great giveaways, and the live audience that will record an actual show. Tickets are free, but seating is limited. You can find the information on our website at myfaithradio.com. Let me tell you about my guests. We'll get them on the show. Both Dr. Greg and Aaron Smalley serve in leadership roles at Focus on the Family. Aaron serves as the strategic spokesperson for Marriage Ministries, and Greg serves as the vice president for Family Ministries. And they're longtime friends of the program, and to myself, I love them so much. Great to have you both. This is the one time you can talk at the same time. So good to have you on the show again.
Awesome. We're glad to be with you.
Yes. God bless you.
Thank you for having us. It's been a while since we started to wonder maybe that you just didn't like us anymore.
Well, you know, I was trying to send the message subtly, but you seem to got it, you know, get it loud and clear. I'm just kidding. You know, I love you. And these friends are coming in, phoning in from Focus on the Family. They're in two different rooms, so if the sound's a little funky, that's why. But I'm looking forward to getting into this topic. But as you know, you've both been on the show plenty of times. I like to start out talking scripture, and I just know you both spend time with God. So, Aaron, is there anything the Lord's been speaking to you about these days?
Yes, I have been focusing on Matthew 17:20. You know, truly I tell you, if you have faith as small as a mustard seed, you can say to the mountain, move from here to there, and it will move. Nothing will be impossible for you. And just taking that stand in faith that it doesn't matter what the mountain is or whatever the challenge is, that all you need is faith the size of a teeny tiny mustard seed, believing that God can change hearts, change circumstances, even in your marriage.
Very good. What do you say, Greg?
Yeah, I love in Proverbs 11:14 where it says, without good direction, the people lose their way. Yeah, I just love that, thinking about the new year, thinking about new goals, especially as we think about our own marriage. You know, what's some direction that we can have for this year? Just to make sure that we're staying strong. You know, we've got some close friends who are just really, really struggling in their marriage. And what the impact, of course, is our heart breaks for them. Part of the impact for me has been, you know, what's going on maybe in me personally, or what's happening maybe in my relationship with Aaron that I'm not noticing or I'm not aware of that maybe could cause some problems. And, you know, we love our dear friends and we're fighting for their marriage with them. But it's really had a profound impact on me by just going, you know what? I'm human. I'm flawed. I've got issues. Aaron gives me lists all the time of issues that I have you know, how might those things be impacting our marriage? And so that's why I love that verse, just without good direction, the people lose their way. I don't want to lose my way in my marriage. And so God, give me some direction. Give me some things that I really need to work on. So it's as much as I hate and hurt with this couple who's struggling, it's inspired me to really dig in and not be complacent. I don't know if that makes sense.
It's a weird
experience for me just to kind of find that renewed passion to go, man, I want my marriage so strong in, you know, as the evil one attacks us, it's just the busyness sets in. And so that's why I'm so excited to talk about this with you, just to what some of the things that we're thinking about for our marriage for this coming year.
Well, Greg, I love that you're doing that, and you always do that, it seems. When you bump into something, you say, what in me? What can we extract from this? What can we learn from this? And Jesus says, you know, I'll give you treasures in those secret places. And I think when anything that's jarring that happens to us, if we can step back and say, there are spoils in this war. What are they? Where are they? And how can I find them? And how can I be refined in the process? So I love that. And I think that the verse you're referring to, I think another translation is, without a vision, the people perish. And another verse around that is, without a vision, people cast off all self-restraint. And I think that's really profound when you think about it. If you don't have a vision that's bigger than you are, you don't see a reason to temper your appetites, to not give in to your fleshly desires. But there's something very compelling about, if I have a vision, I've got to say no to my flesh, and I got to say yes to the Spirit of God in me. I'd love for you to speak more, Aaron, about that, just as in your own experience as a woman who's been married a long time and seen some highs and lows and twists and turns. Your flesh can't always and should really never have the last say. So speak to that, if you would.
Yeah, you know, it's a constant battle, as we know as human beings, that we do battle these selfish desires of the flesh, that we want it our way, that we want to prove our point, that we want to know that what we feel, what we think is more important. And so it's so important that as married couples that we are grounding ourselves in the Word of God and allowing God to take root in us. So we can show up in a different way, not in the flesh, that we can show up in Him and be able to love our spouse through sacrifice, through serving, and showing up in the way that we really want to, in our true selves, actually.
Very good. So
well,
you both want
to
go ahead, Greg.
I was just saying, you said something that struck me, because Aaron and I talk about this. You know, when we at a marriage seminar, we'll flash a picture of this beautiful body of water, and we'll ask people, you know, what is this? And we get all kinds of crazy answers, but the picture is actually of the Dead Sea.
I'm always so amazed when people know what it is. Like, how do you know what that is?
we were closer to your neck of the woods, and someone's like, is that the Great Lake? You know, is that Lake Michigan? I mean, it's just funny that people say. But what's interesting about the Dead Sea is that you've got this life-giving river, the Jordan River, that flows in, but nothing flows out. In part of the vision for our marriage is we don't want to be a Dead Sea marriage. We don't want to have all these blessings that God's giving us and things He's teaching us. And just to keep that, I think a part of that vision for our marriage is let's keep working and let's keep growing, but let's make sure that we turn around and give that out. And I think that's a part of what, you know, as we think about a new year resolution for marriage, it's not only keep our marriage strong, but how are we going to bless another couple or you know, maybe it's a spouse that you have contact with or whatever that looks like. And it gives me such a powerful image of that. Yeah, I don't want to be a Dead Sea marriage.
Mm-hmm. Well, why don't we think of resolutions when we think about all these different goals we want to set for a new year? Why is it so rarely the case that we have audacious vision and goals for our marriage?
You know, I think, Susie, that so often we think it's just too big. Like if we make a goal for our marriage, well, that's just too much. It's going to take too much work and too much effort. and just recognizing that we have opportunity to choose one direction in one thing of what are we working on? What is, can we sit down and talk about what is one area we would like to strengthen this year?
I love that.
Yeah, and I think that, I think because life is so busy and moving at such a fast pace that it's in, we have kids that are needy, we have jobs and bosses who require a lot, and churches who want our time and our tithe. And I mean, you think about all these demands that are upon us. I think it's easy to kind of settle into going, you know what, Aaron is an adult. I've got all these other needy things and people, you know, trying to capture my attention and need me, that, you know, she's going to be fine. And I think it's just, it's real subtle that it's easy then to put our time and effort and attention into these other things with the hope that, you know, I know Aaron loves me. I know she's committed to me. We're going to be okay. And I think it's a sad myth that we've bought into, that somehow that there's a cruise control or an autopilot setting for our marriage. There's just not. I can't just go, hey, she'll be fine, and we'll figure this out at some point. I mean, it's something that we have to be building into on a regular basis.
Yeah, I've heard you both say that marriage is not self-sustaining. We're going to pause here. And I want to, friends, I would love to hear from you. I asked you, what would be some good New Year's resolutions? Devonna texts in. She says, to laugh together more often. I want to hear more ideas for resolutions. And even what Aaron said, what if you picked one area you wanted to strengthen in your marriage this year? What would it be? Text it in. I won't have to say your name if you don't want me to. But I want you to engage in the conversation. If you could strengthen one area, Kevin and I have decided, because we are such task masters, we find the shortest way from point A to point B. You'll never hear us take a side road and go, where does this lead? Because we have no sense of adventure. We're all about the task. So one of our goals this year is to have more fun. It's our 35th year of marriage. So we're going to do some spontaneous cray-cray things, which I'm excited about. So tell me this. What's one area of your marriage you'd like to strengthen? Text in 877-933-2484. We'll be back in a minute. Every moment of every day. Thanks for tuning in to Middays. I'm Susie Larson, talking to our friends Dr. Greg and Aaron Smalley from Focus on the Family. Talking, we have them about once a month, but then sometimes we lock the doors and shut the blinds so that they don't find us. I'm totally kidding you guys. But every once in a while, they're traveling, I'm traveling, and we go a couple months and we can't get them on. So it's so good to have them on today. We're talking about making resolutions for your marriage. And my question to you, dear listener, is this. If you could pick one area to strengthen in your marriage, what would it be? One area, 877-933-2484. This dear listener says, I lost my husband this past year. My resolution for my marriage would have been deeper appreciation for each other and more time with Jesus. That is amazing. And then this dear one says, I wish our marriage had more joy and fun, but my husband just doesn't get it. Wow. That's tough. What do you say? What advice would you have, Aaron, for that dear listener?
Yeah, it's recognizing that What control do we really have? We like to think we have control over our spouse and how they show up, but, you know, we certainly have influence. We have so much influence as women, especially in our husbands' lives. So I would encourage her, what is she wanting? She's wanting to have more fun. So do that. Invite him in. Let him watch you have fun. And she's wanting to have fun with him. And continually invite him into that place. He gets to decide if he joins you or not. But I know he's watching. He's watching what's going on. And you can even sit down and say, this is what I'm going to do because I desire more fun. I'd love to have that fun with you. To me, it appears maybe you don't want to do that, but maybe I'm wrong. So this is what I'm going to do, and I'd love for you to join me.
I love that. You know, one of my sons and his wife, they trade off for every fifth anniversary, the big one, every other year, they trade off who plans what, and they kind of enter into each other's adventures. But then every fifth year, they plan big. One person does and surprises the other person. But I just think the idea, and I've heard you both say this before, what if this listener also said, what would be fun for you? tell me what would be adventurous for you, and I'm going to enter into you. I'm going to plan something fun that you would love, and I'm jumping in.
Yeah, absolutely. Go ahead, Greg.
I was just going to say, Erin, as you were talking, how she has done that exact thing in our marriage, and this is a funny example, but Erin has taken up going to a spin class, the cycle.
Oh, yeah, baby. I know all about it.
Yeah. And so she has mentioned, hey, you should come with me. You should try it. You'd love it like a billion times.
Yeah, 190 rides, and he didn't come. But I kept asking.
But the difference was that Erin hasn't, just said, well, forget it. He didn't want to do that, so obviously I'm just not going to bring it up. Or she hasn't hounded me and nagged me about that. What she does is she goes and comes back and tells me how amazing it is and how much she loves it. I can see the impact. So finally, over the holiday break, she said, one of the presents that you could give me is just to come with me one time. Fine. I'm like, fine, I'll go. And I ended up really liking it. Like, I now have experienced it to where I go, oh, I see why you really like this. Mm-hmm. But the point is that Erin can't control me. She couldn't pick me up, carry me in, set me on, the little spin cycle,
I could try.
Lock my feet in. It wouldn't go well, and I would be injured. But the point is that she just did it and showed me how enjoyable that was, to where finally I wanted just to see it and check it out. So that's why, to your listener who's saying, my husband just won't have that kind of fun, well, to Erin's point, just start having fun and keep mm-hmm. inviting him and keep having fun. And he's watching and he's noticing. And at some point he's going to want to be a part of what is enjoyable to you, because he's seeing the change and seeing what it's doing to you. And just like me with spin cycle. So
I love that.
Man, I was on the news the other day. They came and did this special news thing. Erin's gone like 200 rides, and I've been like three times. In the morning news here in Colorado Springs, we're doing a special, and there you see old Greggy pedaling away in the background.
Isn't that just always the way it is? Oh,
it is.
My word. We're the disciplined ones. He gets the mugshot on the TV.
It always goes, Susie.
Totally how it goes. Unbelievable. Well, this one I would love for you to comment on. This dear listener says, I tend to lead in prayer before our meal. I'm going to wait for my husband to lead in prayer, and I'm just going to be silent. I have some thoughts on that, but you're the expert, so I would love to know your thoughts. Go ahead. Erin, why don't you start?
You know, what comes to mind, I use this regularly with my clients, Dave Ramsey with finances, he'll say, whoever is better at it, do it. Now, it's not the same as spirituality and leadership and headship and submission and on, but what I would say is, why stand back passive? Why not take initiative? Again, it's modeling. Hey, I really desire this. I would love for you to lead us in prayer, but maybe there's something going on in his life to where he's not capable at this point in time. And so maybe it's something in his heart, in his soul. We don't know what's going on. So, hey, I want to experience this as a family. So let's do that. Don't stand back passive.
Amen. What do you say, Greg?
Oh, I agree. I'd say easier than that. If you want to pray, pray.
Mm-hmm.
And watch him see the difference in let him choose to join in or not, but do it. There's no rules around doing that. And that, I tell you, women have an amazing influence on us as men. And I am so grateful that like Erin, like spin class. I mean, is a simple one, but on a deeper spiritual level, one of the things that I admire so much about my wife is that she is so committed to growth in becoming more like Christ, in doing experiences that help her grow personally. And now she could be resentful and say, Kai, why don't you do that? Or you should model that, or you should lead out. But what I love is she does that, and I see what it does, and then I want to do those kinds of of experiences as well. And I'm telling you, women, you guys are so strong, and you have such influence. And I'm not male bashing, so you know, I don't. If, as a guy, if you're listening, going, "Oh, here we go once again," I'm just saying the reality is, man, women have such an amazing influence. So use that. Because if the goal is I want to pray more, I want to go to spin class, or I want to get counseling, do those things and watch what happens, because I guarantee you he's watching. He's looking.
Yeah. Your life speaks a message. My hubby always says, if guys can't see a path to a win, they're not going to even try. And I think a lot of men are very intimidated to lead the way in prayer, because they maybe have a one-size-fits-all of what it's supposed to look like. And I often tell young women, you want prayer in your marriage? When he's going out the door, put your hand on his shoulder and call out the godly man in him. Lord, I thank you for this hardworking husband. I thank you that he loves you and that you love him. Bless him today. Bless his efforts of success. Help him to know how we are all for him. I mean, that really, and that's not, I'm not being passive aggressive here. I really am saying, call down heaven on your husband and let your husband, faith comes from hearing. So if your husband hears you pray like that, I mean, what's that going to do for a guy, Greg?
Well, I mean, it's, you know, when Aaron does that exact thing for me, I mean, I'll be totally honest. When she initiates a prayer like that, I have this first initial tinge of guilt. Oh, I should be the one praying for her. And yet to fight through that, to go, God, I am so grateful that you've given me a wife who cares enough about me not to let me leave the house without praying for me. And then I turn around and do that with her. And so I know as guys, we often have to fight through the, we should do this, we ought to do that, and why aren't we doing this? And it just shows you how spiritually, whatever, that I'm not. All right. I mean, I get that. I experienced that. But boy, when Erin risks and puts herself out there to pray for me, not only does it minister to me, but then it also creates a moment of connection for us that I want to be a part of, and I want to do that for her. Because I might be thinking about the presentation that I'm about to make. There could be a dozen reasons why maybe I didn't think to do that for her. So if we can fight through the what I should have done and just go with it and make the goal, I'm going to connect in that moment with my wife. She let out, awesome, God, thank you for her. But I can connect with her as well.
Yeah. Very, very good. Go ahead.
And I love, too, Susie, the opportunity there. A man, a husband, longs to be affirmed by his wife. More than anyone else that he'll encounter throughout that day, to be affirmed by his wife prior to walking out the door, I mean, they say that it meets a deep, deep need in his heart that can't be met from anyone else. And so praying over him and affirming him in that prayer and calling out what you see in him to be true, wow, I can't imagine a better way to send our husband out the door.
Come on.
Yeah,
amen.
I love it when Aaron says how good I look in my bike tights, my spin bike.
Okay, we're still on the air, Greg, but we can talk about that later. We're going to pause here. When we come back, Bill, a husband says, communication is trickier. It's limited when your spouse spends time on games instead of talking. I'm going to have you address that. Actually, both of you, talking to Dr. Greg and Aaron Smalley of Focus on the Family. We will be back in a minute.
Every day, every breath, every moment I'm living, every beat of my heart, every morning I'm giving. I'm a soul, so grateful, so lost in wonder. It's undeniable.
Gotta let that song play out. You know, we cannot impart what we do not possess. And until you know the love of God in ever-deepening levels, you really can't love other people the way God wants you to love them. And you know what else? He's the creator. Every genius idea came from him. Every good gift comes from him. And he longs to move us from strength to strength, glory to glory, shining ever brighter to the full light of day. So that means that we should have a vision on our horizon, goals for our marriage, goals for our life, not things we just pull out of the air, but really God-given, God-inspired vision for where he's taking us, and then you take the next step and take the next step. Really glad to have you listening today. I'm talking to my friends, Dr. Greg and Aaron Smalley from Focus on the Family, talking about actual resolutions in our marriage. And Aaron said something at the open of the show. What if you just picked one area of your marriage that you wanted to work on this year and to be strengthened in? So I ask you, what would be the one area that you would want to see strengthened in your marriage in this next year? Why don't you text me, 877-933-2484. So Bill writes in, he says, communication is limited when your spouse spends time on games instead of talking. I actually like both of you to speak to that. Aaron, you go first.
You know, it's interesting. I hear a lot about that in my counseling practice, because that's an easy way to check out, an easy way to, you know, if you're bored, an easy way just to veg. And the thing is it's letting that wife know that, hey, I see that's what you enjoy doing. That's great. But, hey, would you be willing to connect with me? And it's amazing when we just offer, you know, can we let them know, I want to connect with you, the difference that can make. And she may say, no, I have no desire to connect with you. And then it's understanding, gosh, tell me about that. And so it's recognizing that we have influence as well. We have opportunity to influence her. And it could be that she has no idea that you want to connect with her. Mm-hmm. She may just be doing something just to veg out because she's bored. Who knows? But don't miss the opportunity.
Amen. I was just going to say, also, I think a lot of people do the gaming thing as a numbing agent. You know, they're numbing out. So what if she's numbing out her own disappointment in marriage? And imagine her surprise if her husband pursued her. And I'm not saying, Bill, you've disappointed her, but I'm just saying we as women have sometimes unrealistic expectations. And then when they're dashed, we become deeply disappointed. But women will numb out. And I mean, I'm just trying to imagine if she's numbing out, trying not to feel something. Imagine how wonderful that would be to have the invitation. Let's talk, you know?
Yeah, for sure. I think there's an opportunity for an invitation to invite her in. And who doesn't like to hear, hey, I want to connect with you. I want to know you. And even if the person is shut down, angry, and says, no, I don't want to, well, then tell me about that. Tell me what's going on for you. That is an opportunity to connect.
Mm-hmm. What do you say, Greg?
Yeah, I think a lot of times that in my mind, I'm making it super clear to Aaron what I need or what I'm wanting. Hey, I want to connect. I want to talk. And the reality might be that Aaron is totally missing what I'm saying. And so,
yes, I usually am.
Yeah, that's because I'm not on a spin cycle saying it. Then you hear me. But so sometimes it could just be a matter of saying something like this to Aaron, going, hey, Aaron, I know you're right in the middle of a game, because it's also fair to acknowledge that just because I want something doesn't mean that you want to do that right now. So I can be respectful of what you're doing by saying, hey, I see that you're in the middle of a game. Would you be willing to hear maybe in 5-10 minutes, I'd love to go on a walk. I'd love to sit down and have coffee. I'd love to talk. There's some things that I'd love to ask you or to communicate to you. Would that be okay? And so even sometimes we do it so subtly that we know what we're doing, but maybe our spouse doesn't get it. So like another example of this is it is so helpful when Aaron says to me, I want to share something with you, but I just want you to listen. Or I'm going to talk about something and I could really use your help to figure out a solution here. And what that does is it gives me then exactly what she's wanting. Before, in the olden days, she just would start talking and then I'm jumping in to solve things and she's frustrated, I'm frustrated, and we walk away going, that was a terrible interaction. And all it would have required was just for the person to say, here's what I'm really wanting, and would you be willing to do that? And so even clarifying what we want or what we're trying to do and being obvious, being overt, can actually make a very big difference.
Very good. Got different friends texting in. This dear listener says, you know, if they were to pick one area to strengthen their marriage, it would be this, to make each other a priority. And that goes back to Greg, you were saying we have a tendency to go on cruise control, but marriage can't handle cruise control. Marriage will die. It'll be diminished. It'll shrivel on cruise control. So making each other a priority is fantastic. What are some practical ways, even creative ways, they could do that?
I think
go ahead.
Go ahead.
Oh, I was, you know, I think every season of marriage is different. And so what may work for me in this season and Aaron in this season may not work for you. So what I asked Aaron is, what would be one way that you and I could connect so that we could just have some good communication and talk about real things? And Aaron said, boy, I love it when you invite me out for coffee. So our kids are older. Our kids are all in school or out of the house. And so what I've started doing is setting up a weekly coffee date to where Aaron and I just meet at our favorite little local coffee place. And then what I do is I downloaded a whole bunch of conversation starters for couples. And so I'll just invite her out. I know what kind of coffee she wants, so I have it waiting for her. She shows up, and then we spend like 10, 15 minutes just kind of walking through some of these fun little conversation starters. And it has been so much fun. And so to prioritize Aaron, that's what she said that is meaningful to her, is to be invited out on a coffee date. So I don't even drink coffee. So that's why that wouldn't have necessarily ever registered in my mind. But asking that sort of question, what would make you feel pursued? I think that's the question that I asked her, and she gave me a good answer, and I've been really working it once a week, making sure that we're going out for a coffee date.
Very good. Aaron, how about you? Some maybe creative ways for this listener and his wife to make sure that they're putting a priority on their marriage and on each other.
You know, what I was going to start with was that our culture, our world does not value marriage. And, you know, the culture sees it as something that, you know, you enter into and you enter out of, versus a covenant marriage. And as believers, we know that marriage is for a lifetime, that this is a covenant we're making before God, and it's valuable. And so what I say, Susie, the more that we can focus on what do we value about our marriage, the more that we're going to make it a priority and we're going to spend time investing in it, taking care of it. So just, you know, maybe on your cell phone, on your phone, just go in the notes section and make a list of, this is what I love about my marriage. And review that, reflect on that, make a list about your spouse. What do I cherish about my spouse? Because as you focus your mind on those things, it's going to engage your heart. Oh yeah, my marriage is so valuable. And so I want to take care of it. So I want to do something to invest in it. What is it that I can do? I'm telling you, Susie, having Greg initiate coffee dates, I can't even tell you what that does for me. It is it is such a joy to know that he wants to connect with me, that he wants to invest in our marriage, that, and so much so that he's taking time to schedule it on his calendar and to ask me, hey, when can you do this? This is when I have time. Do you have time? And then just then talking to me, like connecting, pursuing me. There's something so powerful about that.
And that's just so wonderful. We don't have to play Guess Your Best. And you hear that, I don't know if it was one of those old sitcoms, hopefully it's outdated, but the idea of if I have to tell you, then forget it, you know? That's so ridiculous, right? Because we're all so different. You know, I ask my hubby, what can I do for you that just ministers to you and just adds strength to you? And he said, you know, we have a morning prayer time where we do our own separate Devo time and then we come together for prayer. He says, hearing you pray for me, he says, you believe in me more than I believe in me. And he said, it just calls me up higher and higher all the time. But that, you know, we're all so unique. So I think Tim, who wrote in, sit down with your wife, take her on a date and say, how can I make you feel more loved? And I'd love to share with you the same. And then let's write these things down and let's, you know, faith without deeds is, you know, dead. So let's put some action into it. I love that. So good. All right.
You know, Susie, sometimes too, we have to remind our children that our marriage is a priority. So we are so involved with our kids. I heard someone say, and I love this quote, that they told their children that, listen, our marriage is the sun. You guys are the planet. You revolve around our marriage. It's not the other way around. You are not the center. And that was a great reminder of how to keep our marriage prioritized.
Very good. Rhonda says, 2020 goal, set my heart on appreciating all that is good in our marriage and my husband right now. She said, unconditional love amidst the not yets in our marriage and or in his life, and praying audacious prayers, believing God will and does work new and beautiful things in our lives, in our marriage. She says she's working her way through my book, Your Powerful Prayers, with her nephew's wife. Fantastic. And just celebrated 37 years of marriage in November. Congratulations,
wow.
Rhonda.
Congratulations.
Isn't that just inspiring when you read this idea? I mean, she's got it down. You know, I'm setting my heart on appreciating all that's good in our marriage and in my husband in the face of the not yets. This listener wrote in and said if she could strengthen an area in her marriage, it would be that there'd be more love in the marriage for her husband and that they together would want to set goals. Let's speak to that one if we can. Erin, you go first.
Yeah, again, you know, that we would want to set goals. You know, it's, again, how much control do we have over what our spouse wants? But what we certainly can do is model it and influence and let him know, communicate to him that, you know, maybe we've become, you know, roommates. And what I want to be is connected and soulmates. And so can we sit down and dream about what our future looks like together? What are we going to be doing? What is it that what's important to you? And how can I support you in that? And let me share what's important to me. And, you know, maybe we can figure out a way that we can really encourage each other. And then for that wife to follow up and say, you know, how are we doing on this? How can I pray for you specifically? You know, and initiate that conversation.
Wow, I love that. Greg, what about you?
Yeah, as Erin was talking, it made me think about, you know, a powerful way to think about goals. Because sometimes people hear that and they get intimidated, or they know that these New Year resolutions, you know, fade within weeks. And so another way to approach this is to have your spouse answer this sort of thought, is if when we look back on this year, so 2020, when we look back, what would have happened that would make it an amazing year? Like, what would have gone on? And sometimes just the fun of just kind of dreaming, oh, well, you know, we would have had some dates, or we would have gone on a vacation, or we would, you know, have been consistent in church, whatever. But those get at those things that are important to that person. So maybe it's just sitting down and saying, if 2020 was the best year in our marriage, what would have happened? What would have made that such a big year? And then see if you can pull some nuggets out of that.
Love that. Kevin and I did a life plan this last year with the guy that actually put purpose-driven life on the map. He was like Rick Warren's number one right-hand guy. And we spent 3 days of intense just inventory of our lives, our gifts, our traumas, our storyline. And that literally filled every wall of his office over 3 days just with these inventories so that we can narrow down this vision. And then he wanted us to go out to dinner and write down a vision fulfilled 10 years from now, where we're writing it in past tense. This has happened, that we've gotten this kind of time with our kids, we have this many grandchildren, you know, written this many books or whatever. And just, it was so amazing to just pause and consider, what would a fulfilled vision look like? Yeah, what would a win look like 10 years from now? I love that. We're going to pause. When we come back, I want to talk about something interesting. I want to talk about failure. What if you fail? What about those low places in marriage? How many people self-sabotage before they ever even start because they're so afraid of failure? I would submit to you that if you're not afraid of failure, you can do far more in your life than you are if you let that thing hold you back. Talking to Dr. Greg and Erin Smalley with Focus on the Family. And again, keep the texts coming. If you could pick one area in your marriage to strengthen this year, what would it be? 877-933-2484. We'll be back in a minute. Tuning in to Middays, I'm Susie Larson talking to my friends Dr. Greg and Erin Smalley. We're talking about setting goals for your marriage, having a vision for your marriage. And I asked friends, text in if you could pick one area that you'd strengthen in your marriage in this next year. And this dear listener says, sharing before work, reading devotionals from several different sources has been a great start to the day, and hope to increase our walk through Scripture and appreciate my partner in life with God as our pilot. That's so great. So I want to say a bit about failure. And a while back, I had a speaker on on named Ryan Leek, and he had did this documentary on chasing failure. And he said when he started to chase failure, in other words, attempt things that were absolutely crazy, where he was sure to fail, he said, I accomplished more chasing failure than I did chasing success, and found himself doing things he never dreamed he would. I think you too, that we tend to self-sabotage and go, you know what, we'll quit in a month anyway, and we're going to stop before we start. But I want you to just say a word about having a compelling vision and having such audacious vision of what God could do in and through you if the sky was the limit. I mean, what if you attempt it for 3 months? You'll still accomplish more than if you never tried at all. So, Aaron, what do you say?
I love it. I love it. And, you know, it's recognizing when I fail, stepping back, what do I feel? What do I feel about me? What do I feel about the goal? What do I feel about the situation? What am I thinking about me? What am I thinking about my spouse? There's so much to learn there. And as, you know, we step back, typically when we attempt something and it doesn't go well, often what will get stirred up in us is, you know, we're not good enough, we're a failure, you know, and that's an opportunity to look back and go, where did that come from? When did I pick that lie up? And, you know, what's the truth about me? So that's one great thing that can happen as a result of failure, but also learning from, well, what didn't go well? What could we do different? What could we try? What's the opportunity there? And, you know, to have a journeying buddy to do that with together is amazing. What a bonding experience. I know Greg's dad always taught, go camping, because there's certainly going to be a disaster in that bond. I don't like camping.
I don't either. I love it. Let's go to a Marriott and let the guys do their camping. But
yeah,
they
sure.
can tell us about their disaster and we'll grow from it.
Yes.
I love it.
Yes.
Exactly.
What do you
I
say,
love,
Greg?
Yeah, Andy Grammer, who's a secular artist, has a new song out that and I love the title. It says, Wish You Pain. And so I listened to the words, and it's so true. He has a line in his song that says, every time your heart breaks, it grows. Mm-hmm. And every time that Aaron and I fail, every time we make mistakes, every time that we go through a really hard moment or season in our marriage, man, we can grow. Our hearts grow. We can grow. And I think one of the best goals that we can make for a marriage is to say, God, give us more opportunities this year to share our marriage story. Because, Susie, that is so powerful. You know, when we're able to sit with another couple and just tell our love story, when we share it by including the good times, the highs, the lows, so the pain, the trials, the mistakes that we've made, and what we've learned from it, all this wrapped within that our story, our marriage is just a part of God's bigger narrative, that I think is one of the most inspiring things. I love it. When Aaron and I sit down with a couple, we always say, tell us your love story. And just to hear what people go through, the good, the bad, the ugly, and how God has, you know, been there the whole time, and how he's used these hard times to grow us, and look who we are now. See, that is such a gift that you guys possess. I love telling people, your marriage story is the greatest love story ever told. So make a goal this year. God, give us opportunity. And when you're out with couples, or if you're at lunch with a colleague, whatever, a friend, man, share what God's doing. And because story is so powerful, and when Aaron and I tell our stories, it just reminds us that, you know what? Yeah, through it all, we're pretty good together. Mm-hmm. And there's a way in which telling our stories strengthens our marriage and hopefully can inspire other couples. So what a great goal. God, just give us more opportunities to tell our story.
See, now that's an adventure. That's why I opened with that song this last segment, You Got Me on the Edge of My Seat, because this really can be an adventure of a lifetime. Have you thought, friend, to ask God, give us opportunities to tell our story, even if you're in the not yet. I mean, to be able to say, this is the narrative, you know. My friend says, if your story's not good yet, it's because God's not done yet. And be grateful, you know, that he's writing something with your life. This dear listener says, Susie, thanks for the topic. My husband and I will be empty nesters in a few weeks, and I've been thinking a lot about these things. I'm focusing on being a better student of my husband so I can know how to bless him in large and small ways. Doesn't that just do your heart something good when you read something like that?
Yes, I'm sitting here smiling and wishing Greg was in the same room so I could smile at him.
Yeah.
But it does. It just warms your heart that, you know, that there, we can be intentional. And when the intentionality comes from the place of an open heart and, you know, focusing on the love that God has given us and that we can impart that to our spouse, wow. That's what we're called to. We're called to love God and love others as we love ourselves. And I always say that our spouse is our closest neighbor. So why not start there?
Indeed. You know, I like to always say that I want to live a life that makes the devil sorry he ever messed with me. And so I always look at the ways that he came against me, and I'm thinking of how I can turn the table against him. And one of the ways early on, of course, is my health. And as a result, our finances were a mess back then. And those early years, once we started to get a picture of what God wanted for us and from us, rather than operating in fear, but operating in faith, generosity and sowing hugely into the kingdom became this very big thing for us. And every year we up our game. And I can't tell you what it has done for our sense of partnership with the Lord and the kingdom, us in a marriage, to ask God, what impossible thing do you want to do this year in and through us? That's just one area, but we have seen the devil's plan for our finances fall apart. And Greg, I want you to talk about this just for a moment, because everybody has their weak spots in their marriage. You know, for some, it may be their kids, it's their finances, it's you know, their employers and their jobs or lack thereof. But they can look at a low place in the wall and shore it up and make it a strength. They can do that, can't they?
They really can. And there's no limit to what God's going to do this year for your marriage. I think it's so important as I think about our marriage for 2020, just that I think it's important that we look at two different things. Because if all I'm focused on is, hey, how do we have a better marriage? I mean, Susie, the truth is that it really does take Erin and me working together to create a great marriage. And I can't control her. So as we dream about this next year for our marriage, I think an equally as important question that I need to ask is, how can I be a better husband? So if I'm thinking about, God, what do you want me to focus on as a husband this year as a spouse? And what do I need to grow in? And what's one thing? And that would be a great question to ask Erin, is as you think about this year, what is your biggest encouragement to me? What's one growth area that you notice? Now, that's a hard question and a scary question. And if I'm really willing to listen and not defend, then you know, God's going to use her to give me some of that. So let's think about both, what can I do as a spouse and what could we do for our marriage? And I think if we're thinking about those two things, boy, 2020 is going to be an amazing year.
Erin, you know, we've talked about this a lot on the air, but it's just as friends behind the scenes as well, that, again, you can't impart what you don't possess. And we can't even do this without an intimate walk with God, without knowing, letting God transform us. I mean, it really, he saved our souls for eternity. That's amazing. But so often Christians sort of stop there and stop growing. But to let God have access to our character, to our inconsistencies, to transform us first as Christ followers, makes all the difference in the context of marriage as well, doesn't it?
Oh, it sure does, Susie. I just think of, in Ephesians, it talks about that we possess the same power that caused Jesus to rise from the dead. So we have that power in us. So why are we not calling on it? Why are we not standing in faith and in obedience in that faith? And, you know, it's powerful that when we are asking those questions, Lord, show me what's one thing that you see in me that you want to grow? Who do you want me to be? Here I am in this circumstance. A, who do you want me to be? But who are you going to be to me in this circumstance? It's an awesome journey that we have such an opportunity for growth, not only personally, but in the marriage.
Wow. Well, I just love and appreciate you both so very much. I thank you for the time and just your commitment to the Lord, to each other, and to marriage as a whole. God bless you, and thanks for the time today.
Anytime.
Love you so much. And Greg, it really isn't true that we've locked the doors and changed our number. Really isn't. We'll take you anytime we can get you. We wish you the best. Thanks so much, friends, for tuning in. Hope you found some encouragement here today. And I want to give a special shout out to my amazing producers, Kim Sander, Ryan Mitchell, you just wouldn't believe how amazing they are behind the scenes. They're really what keeps this thing running and rolling every single day. Appreciate you both. And I appreciate you, my dear listener. Thanks for tuning in. So glad to have you along. And we'll meet you back here next time. Thanks for listening to this conversation from Middays with Susie Larson. These podcasts are available because of listener support. You can become a supporter now at myfaithradio.com. And thanks for sharing this audio link to spread the good news of the gospel and to grow the impact of the show. Also, if you would, take a moment to subscribe to the podcast today at Apple Podcasts or your favorite podcast player. And never miss a show.